Which is the
continuation of the Gemara, and we started looking at the Kasha of Tosos, so we'll look at the Kasha of Tosos again and try to understand Tosos' answers. So inside the Gemara, we'll say.
Let's go.
El Yolam Katsava Rav Chalav Nami Osir. So again, what was the Kasha? Yeah, hold tough. What was the Kasha? The Kasha of the Gemara was, we proved that Rav holds Efshar Softo Osir. How do we know that Rav holds Efshar Softo Osir? Two reasons. A, he said it. B, we proved it because otherwise Chanan makes no sense. Chanan builds on top of Efshar Softo. Then he said, we have an applicant, we had a Kasha on Rav. How can Rav hold practically? How is it that he's holding Efshar Softo Osir? Didn't Rav himself say that in the case when he put the basar into the chol of rusachas, into boiling hot milk, where clearly there's a lot more milk than there is need, he said that the basar is asur because the basar absorbs tam from the chalav, and it's clearly not enough in the basar to be mevatel that chalav. The basar is asur. Aye, what about the chalav? Chalav is basar. Why is the chalav basar? Why is the basar? You're very fancy already. Just simply, the simplest shot, why it's asur. It's a shishim. Stop getting fancy. You're post-fancy. The simplest, simple guy. Again, remember, we asked you, everybody here, what would you say in this case? And everybody said that the din should be that the challah should be basar, because presumably, if there's shishim in the milk corresponding to the basar, it's going to be mevatelit. Frek the Gemara kasha. Frek the Gemara. If Rav holds Efshar Softo Osir, so then as soon as milk gets absorbed into it, that means, what does Efshar Softo Osir mean? It means that this piece is, will never be mutter again. And therefore, at least when it comes to things being absorbed into it, we will treat it like ma'achalos asurim. And therefore, if it absorbs milk, and then the milk becomes chalav tameh, chalav shalitzer, it then spits that milk out, and we know that Rav holds min bimino, two of the same things, eino basal. How do we know that Rav holds that? Because he told us. That was the beginning, the first statement of Rav. After the Mishnah, Rav told us that he holds min bimino, eino basal. Oh, so now he holds min bimino, eino basal, and a little bit of the chol which became osir, because he holds after the soap, so osir. Now that he said us the milk should be osir. How can Rav say that the milk is mutter? That was the kasha of the Gemara. So the first answer to the Gemara, the first answer to the Gemara was huge chiddush. What Jack said before, right? Gedi asur Torah v'lo chalav. A unbelievable svar that since the subject, Ustav Hashem Gedi, is talking about the Gedi, v'chalei nimo happens to be what it's cooking in order to create an iser in the basar. That's why he holds that it's mutter, because there never, even if there wasn't enough to be mevatel, the meat and the milk would have become asr. The milk never becomes asr and basr at all. Unbelievable finish. Then the Gemara proves that Rav can't hold with that, because it says that if you have a chati zayis basr mixed with a chati zayis of chalav, and you put them together, he says you get malchus. The only way to get malchus is if there's some sort of connection between those two. You need it, and in order for there to be malchus, you have to have a full kezayis. The only way to get a full kezayis here is if you add up the chalav plus the basar. So it must be that he said that the chalav is asur as well. Not only gedi asur Torah, but also chalav asur Torah, like we thought since second grade. Right? That's all good. But what's the problem? We don't have an answer to Rav's, to the kasha that Gemara asked on Rav now. Okay? Because the only answer that we gave, why the chalav should be mutter if you hold min bimino eino batel, was that the milk never becomes osur. So now inside the Gemara, I don't look like around 8 lines down. El olam kasover rav. Really, what does Rav hold? Cholav nami osur. He holds that with the gedi, the cholav is also going to be osur. That's the general rule for basar b'cholav. So what are we stuck with? What are we going to do with the case on the bottom of tifches mir aleph? The hach of mayas kinan. Are we talking about kejelun shenav alasov yoreroi sakas? It fell into not just a pot of milk, but a pot of boiling milk. You certainly needed heat. You certainly needed heat in order to transfer any ta'am.
So the case we knew all along had heat, but we did not know when the basar went in. The basar could have been sitting there and the fire was turned on. It could be that it reached well over Yad Soledes Bo, but it did not have rosachas. Now we're saying it has to be that the meat went in when it is rosachas. Why? What difference does it make? Dimivla bala miflat lo palat. Different amazing chiddush, the Gemara says, that while the pot is boiling, mivla bala the chaticha can take things in, but mifla lo palat, it does not spit things out. And therefore, we don't have to be concerned about the chalav, because there's nothing which can get back into the chalav. That would answer the Gemara's question. But the Gemara says the pot can't boil forever. At some point, the pot is going to stop boiling. So, in the end, kinayich, when it rests, hadar palit, it will then come out. And if it is then going to come out, it will again be aser min bimino in the chalav. We have a problem. So answers the Gemara, kishakadam vasilko. We must be talking about when you went and you preempted the iser by taking it out. Okay, let's quickly see the Rashi's, then we'll get the Tosfos' Kasha. This is just a quick summary of what we saw at the end yesterday. Says Rashi, Elo olam gosav rav chalav nami aser garsin, and hecha diyesh bo tam iser, o iser mino belo tam. Meaning, in a general case, when you have tam iser, when the basar goes into the chalav, or if it's chalav into chalav, then the chalav is going to be aser, like we thought all along. V'hacha v'yaskina, what's hacha? So Rashi holds our hand and he tells us, this that rav damar rav le'el, basar aser chalav mutter, that case, if you go to Shinafal, also Zayas, that Kazayas fell so Yorah Rosachas into a boiling pot. Dimashe Boleya Eno Poli. That which is swallowed up does not go out. Shakoz man she'eno nach me risichosav Eno Poli. As long as it has not come to rest from its boil, it does not spit out. When it comes to rest, what's going to happen? So kishakadam v'silko lo'osu zayis kodam shetanuach. So you take out that piece of meat before it comes to rest, and shalom al Yisrael, everything is okay. Good? Okay. Tosfos asks the kasha, a very obvious question. Tosfos says, shenofo sochir v'sachas, timiv l'bo, amiv l'bo, tema. I don't understand. The davar hanira le'inayim hu depalit. Everybody who looks at a pot can see that the piece in the pot also secretes. It also spits out what's inside of it. Where do you see it? So he says, the kishenos in yerek bekadera rosachas. If you throw vegetables into a boiling pot, mishtana marasamayim in a yerek. The water will turn green from the celery, it will turn orange from the carrots, whatever vegetable you're putting in, and it also, you know, changes the flavor. Again, that's be'esem what a soup is. Right? We said yesterday, it's water, and then you throw things into it that their tastes should get mixed in with the water. So obviously, this rule is not true. And similarly, the same basar shuma ni moach lesogo. You have, you know, fatty piece of meat, it breaks down, and the fat gets into the soup. You put the soup into the, you know, you see that it's mixed in. There's you know, globs of oil on top. You see that the fattiness there. So what's going on?
The Tosfos of the question is that the din that the Gemara suggested in order to answer the question seems to contradict the Mishnah. Now, we don't always care about Matthias, but when it's obvious that the Matthias contradicts what the Gemara is saying, we have to deal with it. This is the kasha that everybody's going to have to deal with. But how can it be that in a boiling, the Gemara is saying in a boiling pot, things only get absorbed, they don't get spit out, but we see that when you cook things, it gets spit out.
So Tosfos gives two answers. Two answers. First answer of Tosfos, Upirish Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Hadakar Mifrado Palat, Hainu Acheyahe Saveya Milivloa, Avala Akar Shesava, Choser Upolit. What's the first answer of Tosfos?
First answer of there is a point at which the piece is satiated or saturated. There is a point at which the way it works is the chaticha fills up, and then once it's full, it starts spitting some out. So in the Gemara it says, Mivla bala miflat opalit. What the Gemara is saying is that the first thing that happens is that it's going to pull in the milk from the outside, from the pot, while it's boiling, into the chaticha. And it's at that point, kada mitzuko, you take it out, that would be a case where Rav would be able to say, there's no concern, the chalav is mutter. Because the chalav never got chanan, the refshu was sochto, whatever was going to happen, didn't get after inside to get to the app and have him in a bottle. It didn't happen. Aye, what about the Metzias? What about the Metzias? The Metzias is also, it takes a little bit of time. The chaticha, the vegetables are somewhat full with whatever they naturally have in it. Some water or whatever in the pot comes in, and soon after, parts of the vegetables begin to exude out from the chaticha. That's the first answer of Tosfos. And Tosfos says, V'chein pirish harav Rabbeinu Shmaya. So too explains the Rav Rabbeinu Shmaya that sof kinayach hadar palit hainu kinayach mibli aso. U'meshani shekodem silka kodem shekomar bli aso. So Rav Rabbeinu Shmaya tries to support this from the Lashon of the Gemara. How do they see it in the Lashon of Gemara? He reads it in a very interesting way. What does the Gemara mean? How did we read it? We read the Gemara when the Gemara said, Kinayich Hadar Palit, that Kinayich was referring to the boiling of the pot. Right, when the meat comes to rest from the boiling of the pot, then it starts being polite. He says it's kinayich is when the ability of the meat to absorb becomes nayich is full, and therefore it just comes to rest, then it starts spitting it out. So what the Gemara is asking, right, because he has to explain the kasha of the Gemara. What's the kasha of the Gemara? Like, if the shot is that it absorbs until it's full, so what's the kasha of the Gemara of kinayach other pullet? What do you mean kinayach? Who cares? Before it's nayach, it might be pullet also once it fills up. So he has to learn that kinayach means when the peat becomes rusted, i.e. filled with whatever it's absorbing, and now other pullet now begins to spit it out. And then the Gemara answers, Kishon, the Kodam is still, but you took it out quickly before it absorbs and reached that point of saturation. But again, what Rabbeinu Shmaya adds, in terms of the Shaka of Tosfos, is he needs to explain how this pshat that the Rashbam is bringing, how does that pshat read back into the Gemara? Because the Gemara itself has a kasha on it. If Kinaya means when it stops boiling, then clearly it has nothing to do with how much it's absorbing. It has to do with somehow while the bubbles are moving, it keeps things from absorbing, or something along those lines. But that wouldn't help with the kasha from our eyes see that when you make soup, this doesn't happen. So Rabbeinu Shmaya has to add, in order to support what Rashbam says, that you have to reread what Kinayach Hadar Palit means in the Gemara. Good? Well. Now, what Tosfos does now, before we get to the second answer, is a little bit of an important aside. Yeah.
You're presenting it about how you have to read the Gemara?
Yes. Again, the Gemara says that as long as the pot is boiling, then it only absorbs, it doesn't spit out. So then the Gemara asks a kasha on that. The question is, what is that kasha? What is that kasha? So as long as we read the Gemara, then while it's boiling, nothing can come out. So kinaya maybe it stops boiling. But if the Gemara means according to what the Rashbam says, if it means that until it fills up with enough blia, then it starts spitting out. So what is kinaya? It doesn't have to do with stopping to boil. It has to do when it finishes getting filled up, because that's when it starts spitting it out, not when it stops boiling. So we have to explain that kinayah means when it fills up. You have to read that into the lashon of the Gemara. Now, so what Tosfos does now is an important aside. I will try to explain in this way, because again, if Tosfos didn't bring it up, I don't know that we would go here. But Tosfos is bringing it up, and it's a very important point. And that is, how does Hagalas Kelim work? The first thing we have to do is we have to understand that there are two different things that people do with dishes, and they're often conflated, and they have nothing to do with each other. We have one concept of tevilas kelim. We have a completely separate concept of hagalas/kashrus of kelim. Kasher, and we would say, I guess, in English. These two things have absolutely nothing to do with each other. Tevilas kelim is a halacha that when you have a kli, even if it's a brand new kli, it has nothing to do with the food that it was used for. You have a brand new kli that was manufactured by a goy. So you have to, say it this way, but it's a little bit loose. You have to be megayer the kli. You gotta make the kli Jewish. How do you make the kli Jewish? It's a similar day you make the person Jewish. You put it in the mikvah. Again, it's a very, very simplistic way of looking at it, but the din is true. Tevilas kelim means, again, it only applies to certain types of kelim, mostly to metal and to glass, and they have to be dipped in the mikvah. That has nothing to do with getting taste out. There's nothing to do with what the kli was used for beforehand. Brand new, you get it from Amazon, you still need to do tevilas kelim. You don't think that it was used by somebody first. That's the halacha of tevilas kelim. That halacha also, interestingly, one other nafkamina, is that halacha of tevilas kelim, kli has to all go into the mikvah at once, which is always true. Whenever you have anything that has to get become tahar in the mikvah, the entire person or the entire thing needs to be in the mikvah at one time. Hagalas kelim, or kashering a kli, is a completely separate topic. This topic is discussing when there is something that has been absorbed into the kli, and we want to get that thing out of the walls of the kli. Now, we haven't really spoken about it so much, but the same way that we've been talking about chatichos absorbing, the meat absorbing, the same thing is true that Chazal understood that kelim also absorbs. That's why you need to have milk pots and fleischer pots. Because when you have the taste, the same way the taste of the meat will go into whatever pieces are inside, it also gets swallowed, the molecules, the ta'am, get swallowed into the walls of the kli. Now if you have something which is swallowed something that isn't kosher, you need to get that out. And the question is, of Hagalas Kelim and Rakashas Kelim, is how do we purge, how do we get that taste out of the walls of the kli? Because if we don't get it out, and then we use that kli, then that taste is going to go into our food. And we're not going to know how much is in there, so we would have to estimate based on the size of the kli. And you don't often have, inside the pot, food that is 60 times the size of the pot. Don't usually. Certain, maybe larger size cleavers could happen, but usually that's not the case. So we have to get this out. The same thing would be true that we would do. Our minhag is not to get into the little bit off. We don't kasher things, and we don't do hagalah, things that are kosher from milchik to fleishik. That's a minhag just to prevent confusion. But we do it for Pesach. That's why Pesach, oftentimes people will kasher things that aren't not kosher. But the issue is that it has chametz, and we want to get the chametz out in order to be able to use it for Pesach. And Hagalas Kelim does not have to be done all at one time. So So again, these are two days. So we are not talking, nothing against Tfilas Kelim, we are not talking about Tfilas Kelim
at all, but just because sometimes they get
conflated, we just want to clarify that is not what we're dealing with. We are going to deal with Hagalas Kelim. There is also a concept of Livun, which would be burning out the Tamas in there if you need to use an open fire. There are different rules as to when you have to use each one, but we're just sticking to Hagalas Kelim specifically, which is done through the boiling pot of water. But the mechanisms and how it works really come out from these sugyas in Yoredeiah / Pasuk B'Chalav. Yeah.
You can't do a galah from milk to meat or milk or meat to milk?
Our minhag is not.
What happens if you put milk in a meat pot, is the pot done?
No. Once it becomes usur because it has both, then you can do it because that's galah from isur.
Single one from the other.
And let's say you have stan, you have fleishik spoon, your mom's got fleishik cutlery, and then somebody gives her a gift of beautiful new cutlery, so she's like, I'll downgrade the fleishik cutlery to milk cutlery, and then I'll use this brand new one for fleishik. So one might have said, what's the problem? As long as I put it in the water, right. Again, as we'll see, it's a technical process. As long as I draw out the meat that's in there, then now they're empty. Now I can use it for whatever I want. So there's a minhag, and again, it's only a minhag, it's been Malcolm Hepstead, but there may be what we talked about, there's a minhag, again, because it becomes confusing, because then somebody comes to visit who knows that this used to be the fleishik one, and they end up using it for milk. So our minhag is not to do it. If the taka became usur, then you're actually allowed to switch it afterwards to the other thing. Because that's not shvia. Because you can't make it up for a person. But this, a lot of this is an aside. I want to get to the details of how it all works. Because that's what Tosfos is working off of. Yeah.
Is that based on the fact that people may use it? Or is it because Haggalah on a technical level only calls out Isser? It seems that it just pulls out 100% of the time versus just pulling out...
It may be a little bit of both. It may be a little bit of both. There is a concept that we did not really talk about of Hetera not being Batal.
Right.
Maybe Hetera can't Batal. But again, I'm just trying to keep things as simple as possible because that's not really our sugya.
You shouldn't.
Okay, here we go. So what, why all this background? So again, now think about it conceptually. If we have Ta'am that's in the walls of a Kli, how are we going to get that out? Let's deal with Ta'am Isser. So I bought a kli from a guy, and he's made, he's boiled up, pig inside this pot. Ma'achalos asuos inside the pot, and I need to get that out in order to be able to use it. So in that case, parenthetically, you would actually have to do both of these processes. The order is first Hagalas Kelim, then Tfilas Kelim. Because the Rashba, I think, has an expression of it's like being Tovo B'Sheretz Shabbos.
Oh, yeah.
What if you wait a year?
What?
What if you wait a year? Isn't there something else?
That's much more complicated. Let's deal with what we understand. Okay, so here we go. I need to get this Ta'am out. How do we get Ta'am out? So we know that the way to get Ta'am out is through heat and liquid. That's what we've been discussing consistently throughout the year. Those are the two components that transfer taste. So now, if I want to get the ta'am out of this pot, the way to do it is going to be to boil up something in the pot, right? In order to draw the iser out of the walls of the pot and into the water. Now, look, Ora, again, Tosfos is going to get into some of the details. I need to be concerned about two things. And how I'm going to do this process. A, I want to make sure that the ta'am is going to become batel when it gets into the water. Why? Because what happens if I only have a little bit of water, and now the ta'am goes into the water, then the water becomes usur. And then the usur water gets absorbed back into the pot.
Because in the cycle?
Right. In theory. This is what we're struggling with. We want, again, we know how Gullah works, we don't know how Gullah works, but we need to figure out how do we do how Gullah in a way that we get the iser out, and the pot is reasonably kosher afterwards. And now that we have our sugya, we've complicated things. Because now, as long as it's boiling, mivla bala, mivla lopala. And also, it's not always the pot itself. I want to throw something into the pot. Right? It's not always the wall of the pot. So how can I use, if I use a kosher pot, because I have a fork. I can't boil up water inside a fork, even inside a spoon like that. There's no way to do that. So I need to boil up water and put it inside. So I want to make sure that the pot doesn't get messed up. Now I need the fork to be okay, and I also need the pot to be okay, and I need the water to draw everything out. That is, in a nutshell, the complications and the details of Haggadah that we're struggling with. To come up with a solution, again, we're not learning all of Haggadah right now, but just to give a framework to what Tosfos is grappling with, we know Haggadah works, but we have to make it work. And since Haggadah, again, I think I mentioned this a few minutes ago, but not for sure, but since Haggadah is about getting it time out, it can also work piecemeal. What you could do, if you have a bigger, a very long fork, you could put it half in the pot and then flip it into the other half. Right? Because it's not like tefillah kiddushin where the whole thing has to be in at one time. So that's the background to the struggle that we have when it comes to Haggadah Kelim. And Tosfos is going to use that and apply that in our sugya. Yes?
I mean, it could be any kind of water. If you would take a pot in your house, boil it, and put it in a spoon?
Yeah. This could be done at home.
Cool.
DIY. Yeah.
If you want to do Haggadah Kelim on a pot, do you need to put it in another pot?
So we were talking about this a little bit earlier. There are basically two ways to do it on a pot. Again, maybe on a different day we can do just a general summary of Haggadah Kelim and Maisa.
That's not what we're doing now. But the basic idea is there is two ways. Either you have to put it into a smaller pot, or you have to boil it up the pot all the way to the top and drop something in that will cause it to spill over the sides. But you have to do the inside and the outside. Let's see Tosfos now. So it says Tosfos. That was the introduction. Now, yeah, we have one shita so far in Tosfos. We have the shita of the Rashbam, and Rabbeinu Yeshaya agreed with it. That the pshat, and when we say that as long as it's boiling, it only absorbs, it does not expel, is until it reaches the maximum satiation point. Once it's completely satiated and saturated, then it comes out. And now kinayich in the Gemara has to mean kinayich when it comes to rest, meaning it reached the point of saturation. Now Tosfos says, V'osan kelim mukaras ha'asuros. And now if I have a utensil or a pot, which is asur, kishim agilim osam b'silch yorah gedola. Now I want to kosher my spoon in a pot. And I've got a big pot. And I want to put my spoon inside because I want to kosher my spoon. I want my spoon to be mutter. U'minichin osam b'ifnim gishamayin rosvin. And I let it boil up all the way. It's a rolling boil. And I chuck my spoon in the pot. Hayamatzrich Rabbeinu Shmuel lehanicham sha'a gedola ad kedei sheyehei lohem shahus ligmor habliya velachso velifot acharkach. He says, Nakamina of this sugya is for a Haggadah Kelim. If I take this spoon and I chuck the spoon into the pot, so until my goal isn't to get the water into the spoon, my goal is to get the iser out of the spoon. But Rabbeinu Shmuel said that while it's boiling, nothing comes out until it becomes fully saturated. So I have to wait long enough, he says, I have to leave it in there sheer guzzle for a long time until I can be confident that the water came in, filled up the spoon to the point of saturation, and now the iser has been spit out. So that, again, emerges from his understanding of this sugya. This sugya has an afkamina for the sugya of Haggadah Kelim. Says Tosfos.
Udvar temahu. This is crazy. To me, Bucky Leda shears that. And that's really Tosfos' kasha
on the sheets of Rabbeinu Shmuel and Rabbeinu Yeshaya. It's who on earth can know how long this is? So he's going to answer, l'chora, well, wait long enough that you know. The same way by the vegetables, you know, after a few minutes you see that the water is changing colors, so you wait a few minutes and l'chora is going to do the same thing here as well. So to say, to have such doubt and the lack of clarity when it comes to how to do this din, again, it's not just about, you know, the chaticha, when it became usher there, we can look at shisha, we can figure it out. There are details, that's not common. But there's a mitzvah. The Torah says that we have this mitzvah agola. And now, it's so unclear how to do it. We know Bakiyas. Tosos is extremely troubled by this approach for that reason. For that reason. And now Rabbi Mitan comes along and gives a second answer to the original kasha. Again, what's the original kasha? If we've now answered for Rav that the stuff falls, if you put the, we're talking about a case, you put the butter into a boiling pot. And since you put the butter into a boiling pot, it's only bolay, it's not folate. That's why the milk, even if it gets absorbed, does not get spit out, it doesn't have to be numino. How does that jive with the Mashiach? How does that jive with the fact that we see that while you put vegetables and meat in a boiling hot pot, it does come out? So Rabbeinu Tam says differently. So Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Hazak Omer Hacha Mivla Bala Mifa Lo Palit, Hainu Lo Palit Mashe Bala Achshav. Ava Mashe Haya Balua Mikodem, Palit. Palit.
Says Rabbeinu Tam, something else amazing. Says, what is the Gemara saying here? That when the pot is boiling, it only can absorb, but it
absorbs, but it can't spit out what it just swallowed. But what was previously absorbed, that will come out even while it is boiling.
And that answers
the question, right? In the case of Rav,
we'll apply and then I think we should be clear. In the case of Rav, when you put the butter into the boiling pot, which is now boiling, of milk, so we were concerned that it gets absorbed and then it's going to spit it back out. It can't spit it back out, because the rule is, as long as it is boiling, it can't spit out what just came in.
Since it just absorbed the milk right now in the same cookage of the milk and the meat, It doesn't come out. What do you do with the Messias that when I cook my soup? Or what do you do with Haggadah, where I need to get out something which has already been in the chaticha or in the spoon from beforehand? That does come out. There's a difference between that which was previously swallowed and that which just came in during this cooking. Why Messias should that be true? I have no idea. But that's what Rabbeinu Tam says. Let's just make sure it's clear to understand what Rabbeinu Tam says. The chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam, which to answer this kasha, is that there is a difference between what's swallowed in now, what's being absorbed now, and what was previously balua, what was previously swallowed up. Anything that was there before it came to a boil will come back now. Anything that is absorbed while this pot is actually boiling, that will stay in, and therefore the chalav does not come out. And now, the chora, the pshat and the gemara of kinayit, the other palit, goes back to what we were learning at initially. The chora. Right? Once the pot stops boiling, it's only a din while it boils. Once it stops boiling, then the pot can even, or the chatik, I'm sorry, to even spit back out that which was newly absorbed. And then that takes care of Rabbeinu Tam's kasha that he asked on the Rashbam. There's no Bakiyas involved here. It's a Metzias question. But Chazal understood that this is a Metzias. Something, I guess, about the bubbles and the moving around of the water. Allow it to go in and immediately have something go out, but it doesn't draw out the new the new town. That is the second
answer of Tosfos, yeah.
And so when he says that the stuff from before can come out, so in this case that would mean like the meat itself will come out.
Exactly.
And that's why like
anything that was there prior to the boiling.
And that works perfectly because he said, how come you have like a yerek that you
exactly.
that you start? So you know, it does come out, but not the milk.
Right.
That's the point?
Yes. Yes. Oh. One of the questions,
you know, is he really going to say this, you know, Oman Vada? Is he going to have a pot cooking for hours and it never comes out?
It's a little hard to
imagine. But that's the svara that, or the Messias, I guess, that Rabbi Natan wants to say. Why would Rashbam not want to say like, Rabbi Natan? I mean, we know now why Rabbi Natan doesn't want to say like Rashbam. He had a kasha. Right? He was bothered by, well, maybe two things. It could be he was bothered by the Lashon of the Gemara, but he's explicitly bothered by, we now have to apply this halacha, and we have no clue how to apply it. There's some sort of expertise that nobody has that we are required to use, so how can such halacha be true? But now that we have that, Rabbi Yitam has a new solution, so why does Rashbam not learn like Rabbi Yitam? Yeah?
I guess I don't know if that makes more sense, but are you saying, well, I'm asking you in a bucky and what it's squirting out? Like, how am I supposed to know exactly?
If the yisod is true, then as long as it's boiling, then we know what went in. Then we know what went in this time. Yeah, yes.
Maybe there's a thought between like Oakland versus Kalen when it comes to like Tom going in and out, and that part of the reason why the Rashbam didn't need to worry about Makala. He's only concerned with.
Oh, meaning his answer to that Gola question would be the answer. But we know that's not true.
Why?
Well, we think that's not true because Rabbeinu Yeshaya said that Rabbeinu the Rashbam required when it came to Gola that he leave it for a long time because of his concern. He wasn't saying it on his own. It sounds, if you read carefully, right, it sounded like.
Okay.
Right? And that's what the part sounds like.
Yes. It's related to the last Rashbam.
That what?
That he spoke about the absorbing.
It may have to do with the continuation of Tosos.
Yeah,
there's
other continuation.
No, I have a different answer.
Yeah,
I think you were just saying that. Listen, once you're gonna say the stuff is coming out, it's gonna it's not gonna differentiate between
okay. Something
before and something after. Like,
yeah,
what?
So that's the simplest Balvatash answer, right? It's just that he disagrees. No, not in a bad way. He disagrees with the Messias. That's what you're saying. He just didn't think it was true. He didn't think it was true. If the old Bli has come out, why is the new Bli not coming out?
Yeah.
That's definitely the simplest answer. It's intellectually not very satisfying, but it's definitely the simplest answer to the problem without getting into technicalities. I don't have a very, very satisfactory answer to the question, but... It may have to do with the continuation of Tosos and other Nafkaminas in terms of Haggadah. Is there any mashmos in Rashi how Rashi learns?
Any mashmos in Rashi how Rashi learns? Look in Rashi, probably make it easier time to figure it out.
No, I'm just thinking what you said. So what is a deeper understanding?
I don't have a very good check.
Oh, you're at it. Okay.
Yeah.
Any mashmos in Rashi, does Rashi take sides on this?
I don't want to just be a blow.
Where's the dot? Okay, inside. Keep going. Anything?
I'm not sure. I'm not positive, but again, I think if you read Rashi carefully, maybe you can get a hint
to one of the two ways.
Probably one of the Rashis on this part of the Gemara.
Good.
There were only three, and they were not particularly long. I think if you look carefully at the Rashi of Kigon Shinachal,
that was the
It says kigon shenafal also zayis l'sogeros achas dimash sheboleya eino poleg. Shekozman sheino nach meritich osav eino poleg.
The cloud, nothing's coming out. Is what you're saying?
The Rashbam, how, why do you say the Rashbam?
Because he also mentioned that it doesn't secrete.
According to that Rashbam, it does, once it reaches the point of satiation.
Well, Rashi says it's until it stops
boiling. That's not what the Rashbam says. Rashbam says until he has to, I guess, kind of lav dafka that and say it's not when it stops boiling, it's when it's fully absorbs everything.
Well, that's what those are. Are you keen? Yeah, mibulas.
What?
It's not Rabbi Tom says either.
So it's not exactly, but maybe you could. Again, if you read it very carefully,
it's like kind of a remnant, like similar, because he says it can't happen simultaneously.
Well, he says demasha boleya ain't a polite. He doesn't say that nothing. He doesn't say that nothing is polite. What isn't polite? That which is absorbed is not polite.
Oh,
meaning
wow.
That which is absorbed now is not holy. If anything else can come out, maybe something else comes out. It's the mashmos in Rashi. I don't have a raya that Rashi says that way.
Exactly.
Yeah, Rashi has to tell us.
And
that would be like the second opinion.
So, but didn't you ask us why was the first half holy, the second opinion?
No. I guess that before. No.
Oh, then this is on that point.
No. Moving forward. So is there any mashmos in Rashi? Because I think there's at least a mashmos in Rashi, if you read it very carefully, and Rashi may hold like Rabbeinu Tam. Because again, he highlights, he doesn't just say in general, that whatever gets absorbed, but it sounds like maybe he's saying Dimasha Boleya right now, in the pulley, is not going on. Maybe. Let's look a little bit at the Ritva. He kind of summarizes what we saw, but he throws in a few more details when it comes to Agala. There are a few more copies over here if you need. Says Kingon Shinakal Yarosakas Mibla Mipalapolis. The Fi Pashta. The most simple reading here at the Haki Kama. This is what it says. Mibla Bala Mashabakuts. That it swallows what's on the outside. Umiplatopolis boom. And what does it release? Nothing. As long as it's still boiling. Well, feed that, and if that is true, okay, a little bit clearer than Tosos, but the same idea Tosos is saying. Again, the nafkamina being, especially when it comes to Hagol, you would have to wait until the boil. I'm sorry. He's saying, at this point, he's not taking sides yet.
Sounds like
the
first one?
It sounds like
Rashi. Well, this sounds like the simple child of the Gemara before we dealt with the Metzius. Before we dealt with the Metzius, right, we said that it has to, again, it sounds like on its own, he's willing to deal with the halakha without the concern for the Metzius right now. Right? Because the simple pshat of the Gemara, when we heard the Gemara, was that as long as it boils, it doesn't spit anything out. And he said that if that was true, that would also be a nafkamina for Hagala. What would a nafkamina for Hagala be? That you would put it in when it's boiling, but when it drops down, that would be the moment at which the ister is going to come out, because as long as it's boiling, nothing comes out. So again, that's not like this one, this line. Tosos didn't have any lines that dealt with Hagala before we dealt with the Kasha of the Rashbam. Right, is that clear? One more time.
So how do you ever get out of that if you're trying to be Hagala something? Meaning, if
you don't provide the Hagala of our seizures, how does this get around the Metzius question? That's the Metzius. Again, the simple pshat of the Gemara, right? Let's pretend for a moment that we have three pshatim in the Gemara, right? The first pshat in the Gemara was the simple pshat in the Gemara, which is that that everything depends on boiling. The first shot was, right, as long as it boils, nothing leaves. That was the first, that's the simplest reading of the Gemara. That seems to be what the Ritva is saying right here. And he's willing to apply that and says that has an afkamina for Hagala. Because if Hagala is trying to get out of the spoon, the chaza that's inside of the spoon, and you put it into the boiling hot pot and it's a rolling boil, is anything going to come out of the spoon? No. So you would have to wait every time you put the vessel in, you would have to wait until the resisa stops. That's what he said. Read inside again. Right? Lefi pashta, again, it's the pashtas. The simplest found in Gemara near Dach and Gomar. Mivla bala mashavachos, so mivla bala klum. It takes in what's from the outside. It spits out nothing. As long as the pot is boiling, until it comes to a rest. Like the Gemara says, ulafiz then, according to the pashtos, kishiragilim kevim, when you would do hagala, hayitzorech lashosam nimayim, ashiyanuqo amayim erisichosam. You'd have to leave the kli in there until it stops boiling, and only then will the iser and the kli be drawn out. Sharagim pulp and klum, ashiyanuqo amayim erisichosam. Because until it stops boiling, nothing leaves. Doesn't matter if it's a piece of chasicha, it doesn't matter if it's chalav, and it doesn't matter if it is a kli. Oh. Then he brings, again, I didn't bring it in its entirety, picture of Beit Tam, the same Pasha. Right? The Messiah seems not that way. The Messiah seems not that way. Okay, so again, what is the, What does Rabbeinu Tam say? So Rabbeinu Tam, I don't know what order to do this in, it might get confusing. Rabbeinu Tam is the first one being brought by the Ritva, but it's the second shot in Tosfos. So let's put it as number three, because that's how we originally did it. Rabbeinu Tam says that nothing new, no new Leos leave
right away.
Right? While it's still boiling. That's the simplest shot for now. We have to refine it later. And the Rashbam says nothing leaves until it hits saturation. Right? Yeah, these were the three pshatim. This is what the Ritva says is the pashtos. Then we have the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam. Okay? Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam are both bothered by the kasha, the same kasha that the Ritva and Tosfos bring, but that is against the Messias. So Rabbeinu Tam said, now nothing new bleos leave while still boiling. Vav l'peirush is Rabbeinu Tam inside the Ritva. Yesh lanu lomar, we should say, She'ein lahagil kelim b'mayim, elke she'esh p'mayim shishim k'neged akli, she'magilin bo, v'she'agilu osav b'zeh arzeh. So what does he say? According to Rabbeinu Tam, so the new bleos don't leave while they're still boiling. So then, you need to have 60 times whatever is usher in the water, and you need to do it one after another. Why? Shem lo kein ariakelim alo poten osuch amayin ister shevohen ve'osin osam ve'akelim atum shenigalim sham chosin bolim min amayim. Yes.
I don't understand. If Rabbeinu Tam holds that that while something's boiling, the new stuff is not going to leave, then 60 times, not 60 times, what does it matter if nothing's coming out of the water anyway? It's not boiling.
Right. That's the problem. And that's part of why it seems clear, and why I was trying to sort of say before, that even according to Rabbeinu Tam, at a certain point, the old Bliya is going, the new Bliya is also going to come out.
Why would that be? A, it helps explain the Metzius a little bit better, right? You have the thing boiling for an hour, and it's holding that Bliya inside, and it doesn't let it out, but it lets out everything else. It's a little bit hard to imagine in Metzius.
I think I have an answer, actually.
There's no question yet. One second.
No, but I have. It never says it's boiling.
Hmm?
It never says explicitly that the water is boiling.
Gemara says it's boiling.
No, but this is talking about cleaning the
kiln.
I think that's just simple. It's not
really fair because you don't have the water
thought. I was just trying to see how it can...
No, I know, but I think...
You're missing a paragraph in between. I was just trying to put some highlights of the
of the
Ritva.
So I think it's clear that the Ritva on this boat, and it could be that the same thing is in the Hemshek of Tosfos also, that eventually it will come out. Eventually it will come out.
Between the Pshat of Hagolah, is Pshat, okay, I mean, I'll answer this question. Is the Pshat of Hagolah that it pulls Isser Tom out, and then it's Mevapalit in the sense because there's Shishim in the hot, or is it just a destruction of a halakhic tam?
The pashtus is the first way you said it. The pashtus is that it's working simply as a bittul.
And that if we have the isser goes into there and you have shishim, and it's going to be
mevatalet, then I no longer have any concerns. We, and again, Tosfos deals with the Hemshech, and some other Rishonim deal with it, talk about the union of Ben Yomo, right? Because we hold that midoraisa only Ben Yomo, which is a pot that absorbed the taste that had been used within 24 hours, that's the only time which is going to be, there's going to be a problem. So we insist that Lemaisa, we do Hagala, we only do Hagala on an Eino Ben Yomo, and that way, even if there isn't Shishim, it's going to be weakened that much more, but it's not going to hotter.
What the Ritva is saying here,
and then you do them one after another. Why do you do them one after another? Well, that's the same svara. Once you're assuming that even according to Rabbeinu Tam, eventually you have to be concerned that the original Bliya is going to come out. It doesn't happen right away. And that's how we can still say that's the difference between the Metzius versus the Halacha, right? That there's no contradiction between the two, but eventually if you leave it in, it will come out. So then you want to A, have Shishim, so when it comes out, it'll be Mevatalit. And B, You want to do
multiple kelim, you want to put in one kli after another, so you want to make sure that the kelim shame lokein, right? Harei hakelim alo potlon tochamayim isser shebehen ve'osr nosam v'hakelim atmo shenegolim sham chozin v'luim min hamayim.
Then more isser is going to go into the
water, and it's going to be,
again, more Isser is going to go into
the water, and if more Isser goes into the water,
it's not possible that it's going to cause the pot to be an issue again.
But if you have Shishim, why would that happen?
Because if you keep adding and adding and adding, the water is...
Right, meaning what he's trying to stress
is that you want to take the first kli out before you put the new kli in, because otherwise the old kli that we just purged already has the power to absorb. So now when you put the new kli in, so you don't throw the new kli You don't have to. You want to make sure that it's not going. The iser is not go because again he holds that the old iser comes out, right? The old iser comes out right away. That's our Bein Tam's shita, and then it's going to end up getting into the kli that you were trying to kasha. Yeah.
So based off of this understanding of Haggalah, it's like there's a massive chiluk between Yibun and Haggalah. In terms of how they're operating.
Yes.
So it's a lot easier if you're going to compare it closer to Libun. If you say Haggalah is almost identical to Libun, then you don't run into these problems.
No, the pashtus is that they're different. The again, I don't want to get too far afield. The pashtus of Libun is that when Libun is with fire is trying to burn it, to be so revivium combo, and this one is trying to even vata.
Right.
That is the pashtus of how they're working. Again, I think I'm starting to lose people because I don't want to get too far afield over here. But the point that I wanted to draw out when Tosfos brought it here is that the thing is so those that we are understanding when it comes to how these surim are absorbed are nogeya to Haggalah's kelim as well. We're going to leave the Rabbeinu Haggadol at the end.
How is Tosfos respond? Meaning, now that we redefine what Rabbeinu Tam means,
it
really will come out. Mm-hmm. So now, back in the answer with Tosfos, what are you going to say? Like, it's not going to come out right away, but it'll eventually come out. So we're only talking about a case where, like, it's in the beginning of it. Like, how do we say? How do we apply it back to Tosfos? Like, our original answer was that it works. Why? Because it's not going to come out. But now we've said it would come out, right?
That's because he's going to do that quick murder. That's because you caught him in the silk, you took it out.
Took it out right away.
Or somewhere, yeah.
So meaning he's going to say that yes, it could come out, but it takes a long time.
Oh, I think I understand what you're asking. I think what he's asking is this: Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, look. I hope even if you didn't catch the Haggalah part, yeah, I think that's what he's asking. If it's not, then
has a great answer.
Yeah, sure. Then like this: forget about the Haggalah for a moment. Let's get back here and let's go on to the Gemara a little bit. What was Rabbeinu Tam's problem on the Rashbam? Rabbeinu Tam's problem on the Rashbam was that you have some sort of system now in place and you don't have a clear shear to how long, right? Rabbeinu Rashbam said, nothing leaves, it'll reach saturation. Therefore, you have to leave it in and we have no idea for how long because we don't know how long this process takes. And so Rabbeinu Tam says, you can't have this process where you don't have a shear for the process the Torah said. It doesn't make any sense. Nobody's a bucky. So now that we understand, and again, the Pashtus is that Tosfos agrees, this also based on the continuation of Tosfos, that Rabbeinu Tam says that no nublios leave while it's still boiling is not really true. It's not really true. It's really for a little while. Eventually it will.
Same problem.
Ah, that's what you were asking, right?
I'm not sure, but now I'm
Fuck. Right? So is it the same problem? The answer is that no, it's not the same problem. Why is it not the same problem? Because hold Kappa, you guys, this you can, even if you didn't get the Haggalah, it was Kappa. What's the difference between the two? The difference between the two is very simple. According to the Rashbam, I have no idea what the shear is in order to fulfill what the halacha requires. According to Rabbeinu Tam, as long as I put it in and take it out right away, I'm good. There's a technical problem, I leave it in for too long. I may not know exactly how long that too long is. Then I can re-cause a problem for myself. But again, the problem with Rabbeinu Tam and Rashbam is in order to do the halacha, you're telling me I need a formula that's not defined. That can't be true. Rabbeinu Tam says, no. As soon as you put it in, the bliya is going to go out. That's fine. That's not a problem. If I leave it in for too long and I don't know exactly how long it is, it's going to cause a problem again. That's fine. So just take it out right away. You have a solution. It's not that in the halacha itself of how to do Haggalah, we have a lack of clarity. There's a little bit of lack of clarity of how long is it that I need to leave it in order to cause a problem again. That's not the same problem.
So why the milk mustard then when you bring it back to the case of the milk?
Because you take it out right away because you're causing a silk.
Once you put it in, it came out.
The
original one. No new blio sleeve. The milk is a new blio. The milk is getting absorbed this time around. That blia doesn't come out right away. Whatever was in there before comes out right away, and that's the shot with the soup. Why isn't this the same problem that he had? Why isn't it the same problem that he had with the Rashbam? It's because the Rashbam was telling us, I can't tell you how to do the mitzvah properly. I can't tell you anything about Gullah's Kalim, because I have no idea what the shear is. Rezav's going to say, what kind of halacha is that? So Rezav's going to say, eventually even the new Bliya is going to come out. So Rebbeinu Tam says, good, so take it out right away. Put it in, take it out, and you're fine. I can tell you how to do it. How long is it until it once again causes a problem? That's just a little bit of a lack of clarity. So maybe that's part of what the Rebbeinu Tam is like every time. But listen, I don't like your mysterious like you were saying, and halakhically it's not 100% clear, so I don't like it. I don't like it. But Rebbeinu Tam says that they're totally different. And the fact that there's a lack of clarity on this is in no way, shape, or form the same problem that we had before. Okay. Let's go on a little bit in the Gemara.
That was fire.
Good?
Fire
would be leaving. Zuck the Gemara. Anybody start to say Gufa yet?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Let's see it. Gufa. Same case we had before. You have half a kazayis of butter, and you have half a kazayis of milk. How do you get a kazayis of milk? You go from left hand to our mother, right? You have to do a displacement in order to figure out what the right amount is. Good. And I cook them together. Amarav, loka alaki vato, vein loka abishulo. You get malchus for eating it, but you don't get malchus for the bishul. So before, we focused on the eating, because that's what was concerning us. Why is there malchus on the eating if the only way to get a kazayis is by putting the chol and the butter together? Must be that it's not just gedias for Torah, but also chol and butter Torah. But now the Gemara says there's a big problem in the statement. Again, some of you asked this yesterday, but Rashi points out that the Gemara was that yesterday. Now the Gemara asks this. The Gemara says, manavshach. I understand. Even if there's taka zira between the butter and the cholov, abishunami loki. So how come you're not getting malchus for being mevasha butter the cholov? You're mevasha kazayis total butter and cholov. Los mevasha bediva chalei mo. So why did you get malchus for the achila not the bishul? And you go in tzarfin, you're gonna say, oh, there's no connection between the two. Abishunami loki. You shouldn't get malchus for the achila either. How do you have it both ways? How do you have this split, this chiluk between the bishul and the achila? Very difficult. So Gemara answers, le'olam lo mitzarfi. Wow. Le'olam lo mitzarfi. There is no ksira, one second. There is no ksira between the basar and the chalav. Uviva miyayra gedola. And we're talking about a situation in which it came from a big pot. So let's see what that means. It says Rashi.
Were you doing the question?
What?
I thought the problem before was dafka that. Like, why shouldn't it be chalav and butter? And why you get malchus?
Right,
that was our whole question.
Right.
What's going on? I'm confused what's going on here.
What's confusing
me? We answered that, right?
He said that the milk is also water.
Now we're asking a question about the two combining. The Olam Sarvi, the Rashi, La'asos Issa. They don't combine to create Issa. Elohim Kain Hayabo Betchila Kashir. Unless they have in the beginning the right amount. So yeah, you need to have a kazayis of basar and a kazayis of chalav, then you would get malchus on both of them. So in what case did Rav say you get malchus for the achila? Shebom yor gedol, it came from a big pot. Ulitzdadin amarav l'milsei. And Rav was, he wasn't talking about one case, he was talking about two extremes. What did Rav mean? If you eat half a kazayis of basar and half a kazayis of chalav, parentheses now, what is that case talking about? Habami Oregadola, which came from a big pot in his bottle, Bashir Mizel Mizab and Esro. We're talking about paper. First, the bus in the chalav. You had a huge pot of busser and a huge pot of chalav. No bittel. Everything gets together, and the whole shebanger is osur. The whole thing is osur. Now, I have a chati zayis of busser and a chati zayis of chalav that come out of that. And I eat them together. I get malchus on that achila. That still proves what we were trying to prove beforehand, because you're still saying that the milk is usher. That's what we were trying to prove before. And the milk is still usher. The milk is still usher. But the case is talking about when you already cook them in a big pot. And then once they're already usher, I eat half of the size of each. They are mistaring.
Sha'achos shir shalim iser shel shem echad. I ate a full shear of the same mister, which was basar v'chalav. The ein moka bishulo. And when it says you don't get malchus on the bishul,
im bishul kechati zayis basar v'chachati zayis chalav zem ze. What is the case talking about when you don't get malchus on the bishul? That's talking if I just have an uncooked, regular piece of basar, chati zayis basar, and a chati zayis chalav, and I cook them together, I would not give malchus for the bishul. The bishayim is starvin. The chal hater and the gross iser. Ashehe the cholefa leyosus iser leatmo.
Starting point of baster bechalav in terms of malchus is that you need to have the full amount of each that could create iser. You need to have a minimum of a kazayis of each in order to shach the iser, in order to create the iser. So you can't have, so the chiddush of Rav is twofold. In terms of achila, the chiddush of Rav is that if I eat a chatzi zayis of each of them, I'm going to get malchus. Why am I going to get malchus? Because it's already turned into basar v'chol. I cooked it in the same pot. That's an iser basar v'chol. They have the same iser. You can't be mitzarek two different things for the shirk of zayis. And that's the same reason why, if I take a half a zayis of basar and half a zayis of cholav, I'm not going to be chayav that bishul, because they're two different things. There's no connection between them yet. You have to have the full shear in order for there to be a connection between the two. We'll have to pick up with this tomorrow, but make sure, again, think about this a little more. I have to see Rabbeinu Gershom and the Ritzvahs as well to understand this. And also to try to understand the scope of what constitutes a bishul when it comes to Basar v'chalav.
Shkoyach Rabotai.